Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, it's Elin Skolnick for Five on the Floor. We sometimes give you bonus episodes from the Five Reasons YouTube channel. This one I'm actually in. This is a new show that we're doing twice a week, myself and longtime radio pro Alex Dono. It's called The Five Guys on South Florida Sports, or The Five Guys with Dono and Ethan. And in this episode, we focus exclusively on the Heat. Brady Hawk, who you may have heard of, joined us. So here's the latest episode of The Five Guys on the Five Reasons YouTube channel.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into the second edition of the Five Guys with Alex and Ethan. Actually, we got to go with Dono and Skolnick, or Dono and Ethan. I'm not sure which it is. I'm Ethan J. Skolnick. You can find me at Ethan J. Skolnick, and at Five Reasons Sports, we got Alex Dono. You can find him at Alex Dono. We'll get today's topic in a second. If you're listening to this on the Five on the Floor podcast feed, it's because this topic is going to be on the Miami Heat. First, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, or one of our great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network and of the Five Reasons YouTube channel. This is a new one, and this is called jerseys305.com. Check it out, jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, and Marlins, just conveniently the teams we cover here at the Five Reasons Sports Network. Born from a passion for wearing jerseys of old styles and past players, Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore, maybe 10, 15, even 20 years ago, but not today. And the cool thing is they're in pristine condition. Every jersey in the collection is in that pristine condition to ensure you receive a piece of Miami sports history in superb shape. With Jerseys 305, authenticity isn't just promised, it's guaranteed. They have a verification process where they inspect each item and look for the consistency with lettering, numbering, tags, special details, and all the rest of that. So check it out at jerseys305.com. Again, that's jerseys305.com. And to celebrate their partnership with Five Reasons Sports, they're offering listeners a 10% discount on their next purchase using the code 5. That's F-I-V-E, and get 10% off at checkout. All right, here with Alex, and today we're going to talk about the Heat, and I've just got one question for you. Are they mid?
Yeah, they're mid. And we were talking about this off air, and we both independently had the same thought, which was merged together. But how could we not have this thought, being people who were fans and cover South Florida sports teams? Miami Heat so far this season remind me a lot of the Miami Dolphins last regular season, where they're capable of winning and sometimes even beating up on bad teams. But then when they face good teams and have an opportunity at signature wins, the signature wins don't come. And it's such a trend to this point, Ethan. I know there's a couple of different stats that illustrate this, but one that I was looking at earlier today is, and obviously the Heat just lost to the Nuggets 100-88 last night, which means the Nuggets get the regular season sweep against the Heat. And we all saw what happened in the finals last year. The Nuggets are our daddies, and they've been that way for a long time. But overall, for the Miami Heat so far this season, facing teams that currently have the top five records in the league, the Heat are 0-11 against those teams. And I know it was a topic on a recent Five on the Floor from a night or two ago. You know, how badly do the Heat need a signature win? Last night would have been a great opportunity at it, Ethan. And it was one of those things where, on nights when the Heat or Panthers aren't playing, I like to go to bed very, very early. I stay up to watch my teams. And sometimes, not the case with the Panthers this year, but sometimes with the Heat, the last four games, I regret staying up, you know, past 9:30 to watch the end of a game. And last night, I thought they had a shot heading into that fourth quarter. You know, and when Jimmy Butler really needed to step up, Denver's a tough matchup for him. We'll talk about it. But it's been a trend, though, during this four-game losing streak where he just doesn't look interested enough in creating offense. And that was something that reared its ugly head last night.
Well, we're going to have Brady Hawk on the show here about halfway through. Brady does stay up past 9:30 because he's 20 years old. And we'll get back to the Heat in a second, but I wasn't going to wear the hat, but my daughter got me this hat. And now that you say you can't stay up past 9:30, I will show the hat. I'm old. This is not you. I'm old, but I'm like cool old. I will not be sending you that.
Definitely
hat
not me.
Since 9:30 is problematic for you. Here's the thing about it. They are mid this year. The numbers all suggest it. We have tried on Five on the Floor to, hope traffic them into something more. But you can't get past, you mentioned 0-11 against those five teams. If you add the Bucks, they're 1-13 now. So really, they have one signature win, which was the win in Milwaukee. Like that's the one. Like they've beaten some other, you know, pretty decent teams. But if you take a look at I think you're going to throw this graphic up here on the YouTube channel. They are of the top 16 teams in the league. Okay. And again, in net rating, I think they fell to 17th yesterday. So they've been in that kind of 15 to 20 range in net rating the whole year. But as we're scrolling down here, their record against above 500 teams is 14-21 in that category. So that is the worst of the top 16 teams, which again is expected based on what we've witnessed this year. And against below 500 teams, they're 21-9, which is fine. But this is why the Washington loss was problematic, because they have handled most of those teams, and now they're getting two against Detroit. And I don't care if, you know, is Hero and Love are out or what. I mean, you have to sweep two games against Detroit. They had to get the Washington win. But, you know, you take a look at the game in Dallas, to me. I didn't think they were going to win both games in OKC and Dallas. But I thought there was a chance to at least get the Dallas game. And I think what you've mentioned, and we're going to talk about this more on Five on the Floor, is if they don't get the engaged, aggressive, dynamic, interested Jimmy Butler, they don't win, and they can't beat these kind of teams. And there is a trend this year for sure where he has not played that well against the better teams, and we're going to dive more into that on Five on the Floor. But Denver is a specifically challenging matchup for him, because it's not just that they can put Gordon on him, who I saw someone on our Discord today say he's kind of like their Bam, and they put their Bam on Jimmy. Yeah. But then when Gordon's not on him, you're switching KCP on him. Jamal Murray is bigger than I think people give him. I mean, you see Jamal Murray on the court, like he's a stocky 6'4 who can still move. And now they've got this Peyton Watson, who's kind of replaced Bruce Brown, who's another of these NBA ready guys or close to NBA ready guys that they've drafted. They have a very similar philosophy to the Heat now, and he's got length and he gives Jimmy problems also. So Denver is almost a non-starter for the Heat. Honestly, they would get beaten four or five games in the finals again by them. So the only chance they would have to win a championship, in my view, is if somebody else knocks off Denver first. But it's not just Denver, Alex. It's also early in the season. He didn't show up really against Milwaukee or Boston. Again, recently that's been the case in some of these games against the better teams. And look, I understand the playoff Jimmy thing, and that there's a ramp up with him, But he's also 34 years old. And he's not going to have it every night. We have to accept that. But you can tell with his energy. And you know, we mentioned the free throw shooting with him a lot. His attempts are down in the losses. He averages 6 attempts in losses, I believe 10 in wins. And now the league has kind of trending towards calling fewer fouls. Even Spoelstra referenced that yesterday.
Yeah.
And so it's not that Jimmy sells fouls, but he kind of needs some of those sometimes to get him into it. And he's not getting them lately. And then when you talk about not just the good teams, but you go against a bad team like Washington, and Kyle Kuzma's got 16 attempts and Jimmy's got 4. I don't care who's on the rest of it. You're not winning a game like that. So a lot of this, unfortunately, you know, we boil this stuff down. Some people say it's unfair. Jimmy's the highest paid player. He's the reason for belief. And if he's not getting it done, you can't believe in this thing. And I'll get to this part of it because this is the difference between them and the Dolphins. You mentioned this. I want you to elaborate on this. With the Dolphins, they couldn't beat good teams this year, but we haven't seen them do it in the playoffs. So everybody just kind of expected the worst. I feel like Heat fans are just holding on to the fact that, well, we did it last year. So yes, we're mid, but we were mid last year too during the regular season. We're 3 minutes from being eliminated from the whole thing, and we turned it on. So I guess how strong is your belief that that would actually happen?
Yeah, well, they've certainly built that belief in the fan base, and they have some equity from that perspective because we've literally seen this team do it last year, like from the play-in to the NBA Finals. And obviously, you know, you're a loser in the finals. It happened in the bubble. It happened this time. You don't really remember who comes in second place, but still, that was they were punching above their weight in both of those runs, especially last year coming in through the 8 seed. So they've built that equity, but the problem is, I don't think it's just the Heat fans, some Heat fans who believe that this team can just flip a switch in the playoffs. I also think a lot of Heat players believe that they can just flip a switch in the playoffs, Jimmy included. But yeah, the difference between the Heat and the Dolphins is stark. And, you know, you can even say the same thing in a way when it comes to equity with your fan base. You know, we talk about what an incredible run the Florida Panthers have been on this season, and they're Stanley Cup favorites in some places, depending on which sports book you look at. But there still is a feeling among South Florida sports fans, you've got to actually show me you can do it. You actually have to show me you have to win, where the Heat have built enough equity where people assume they can do that. But I hate the idea, Ethan, in this play-in era where, you know, you face one and done or two and done situations once you get into that play-in round, depending on what number you go in from. It's frightening. Like, I don't want to gamble with that. I don't want to be a 7-10 and have to rely on getting through that game or games in order to actually get into the playoff proper this year. Because I think you're playing with fire at that point. And I also, for a team that, you know, just had a deep playoff run and has had a few of those in recent years, I think a certain point fatigue comes into play. And, you know, once you get late into May and June, that it may be tougher to grind out some of those games that you grinded out last season. So I don't want that. But yeah, there's obviously a difference between the Heat and the Dolphins in that respect, where Miami Dolphins last year, I know the wheels came off late in the season, and of course that Tennessee game was what ultimately cost them home field advantage, but I still, and maybe I'm just more cynical than a lot of people when it comes to the Miami Dolphins, who I've been a fan of my entire life, but I'm cynical to the point where you've got to show me you can win a playoff game before I believe you can. At least with the Heat, I have seen that, but I still don't want to rely on that mentality every year that these guys can just flip a switch and that Jimmy is going to go from, you know, a disinterested 6-16 that he shot last night to, you know, magically becoming a 40-point scorer, you know, hitting 70% of his shots in the playoffs. Even though we've seen it happen before, I don't want to rely on that every single year.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor and the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay for players, kind of keep it in the range. But there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly, so I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To compare to the Dolphins and the Panthers, the Dolphins have earned no trust in this regard. So I think that fans' frustration with that and where they thought the season was going to go and where it ultimately did go, which is a validation now, that's going to be the case until they prove it. The Panthers are proving it. I think that may be where the Panthers and Heat have diverged this year, whereas last year they got totally aligned. If you look at their seasons, they were the same.
Yeah,
they were. They were really the same. They kept doing the same things and wasn't so good during the regular season because the Panthers won the President's Trophy the year before and then were struggling. They only got an 8th seed in the last week last year and then obviously upset Boston and went from there. But those things were totally aligned. The Panthers and Heat this year are not the same. You mentioned the Panthers and good teams. Well, they were losing 3-0 to Dallas, okay, one of the better teams in the NHL. They came back and scored 4 goals at the end. I didn't have any faith that the Heat were going to close that thing out yesterday. Like, they got it within 1 at the end of the third quarter. They actually were leading by 1, and then Murray made this ridiculous reverse layup. And then in the fourth quarter, I'm not sure what Spo's doing there, but it feels like experimentation to me, and I don't know that Denver's the team to do that against, where he's starting the fourth quarter with a lineup that includes Patty Mills and Thomas Bryant. And Jimmy, and I guess it was Jimmy, Caleb, and Hawkins, which is just an odd group to go with there. Like, you can't have Patty Mills, who just arrived, as your spacer in that lineup. And so I think that's where Heat fans are kind of like, okay, is Spo taking this thing seriously, or are we just sort of waiting to try to get out of the play-in or be in the play-in and kind of dig ourselves out of that again? Some of this is the inconsistency with availability, Hero and Love being the latest. But the Heat have talked about their depth all year, and they've talked about the resilience. And it just feels to me like when they go against the better teams, they're outmatched. And a lot of that points to size. And, that's a philosophical thing that I think the organization is going to have to look at more seriously. And maybe it is more of a commitment to Jovic next season. Or maybe, again, I'm not a big believer in the 4-5 thing with Bam or whatever. But just getting bigger players to play up front to take the burden off of Bam. Because the Heat don't have functional size compared to other teams at some positions, and Denver does. And, we can say, well, that's just Denver. It's not just Denver. And Denver is the standard right now. Just like the Warriors were the standard for a few years, just like during the Big Three era, the Heat were the standard. You have to go after the standard. And they don't have a team to match up with that one. They just don't. And there's someone who's been in the organization a long time. He's not a decision maker. I'm not going to give the person away. Who walked by me last night while I was going to the locker room, said we could play that team 100 times, we'd lose 99.
I believe it. I mean, that's basically their record in the last 100 against Denver.
Right, exactly. I think I saw the the one win was in game two, I guess, of the NBA Finals, but a little bit of a different roster, but there you go. All right, we're going to bring on Brady Hawk here in a second. Before we do, I want to tell you about a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, Five on the Floor, 3 yards per carry, the Defoe Show, and here, our new show here with Five Guys with Dono and Ethan, Water Cleanup of Florida. You can find them at WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com, your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. Get the preventative treatment there. As soon as you see a leak, you should be calling them. They're based in Boca Raton. Then they service the entire Tri-County area and beyond. Michael Robert, his whole team, great people. They're expanding because so many people trust them. If they can't do the job, they will let you know. So check it out. Water Cleanup of Florida. You can find them at WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz, they got the guts. And now, Alex, our guest.
Here he is.
Wow, I think I just sat next to him yesterday. Brady Hawk, you can find him at Brady Hawk 305. So I will ask you the same question. I'm trying to adopt younger lingo here. Are the Heat mid, Brady?
I don't know what's more surprising, the Heat being mid or you using mid. I don't know what's more.
Him using mid, definitely. I was shocked by that as well. Although I'm the guy on the show that usually goes to bed at 9:30 when there's not a Heat or Panthers game. Okay. So I shouldn't be talking.
I'm dead ass serious about it.
Okay. I'm just going to move past this. I mean, every metric and everything that we've seen this season in the regular season points to that. And I mean, everything that pointed to it in the regular season last year showed that they were kind of right in the middle of the pack. So, but I mean, this time around, there's just it's a different feel because we've said this is a better roster. The role players that were on the regular season last year, we kind of talked about like the Maxes and the Gabes of the world had horrible regular seasons. Where you look at a lot of their role players, like individually have not been bad this season. It really comes down to, for me, like they don't have an identity to me. Like they don't have... If you have an identity, it means you do something consistently. Like whatever you're good at, you do consistently. And this team does not do anything consistently. Like I've seen at points where they defend well. Like they had February where they were the best defense in February. I thought that they were really pointing up in that way. And then it's fallen off in March. Like they've been really bad. I thought they were good against Denver last night. I thought they were defended good enough against them. But ultimately, they just don't do a lot of things consistently well. The offense, I don't really know what they're trying to do most of the time. You look at the fact that, you know, you cannot not shoot well, like shoot 20% from three last night and also not have Jimmy clicking. If you have both of those things that are not going your way, you're not scoring. You're just not. And then you have, I know you just hit on Ethan about the lineup last night. You cannot, in games like that against Denver, when you're playing these really good teams, cannot have, especially in a game where you're scoring 88 points, cannot have a 3 to 4 minute pocket where you're just kind of shooting yourself in the foot. You just can't. Like, you cannot have that lineup in there where the offense is going nowhere. Like, it's like Patty Mills. I think you pointed out, it was like Patty Mills, Jimmy, Caleb Hawkins, and Thomas Bryant. And I know everybody's pointing to the fact that, like, why is Thomas Bryant playing with Patty Mills? It's not as much that for me as, like, who was playing with them. Because you have three wings next to those guys that are not, you know, complementing each other in any way. Like, you're basically asking either Jimmy's going to be Jimmy, crazy Jimmy, getting to the line, getting to the rim consistently, or Patty Mills is going to hit pull-ups. Other than that, you're not having like a consistent hub to get to. So yeah, there's just not a lot of consistency right now. And that's why they're a middle of the pack team.
You know, Jimmy to me has just not done nearly enough over the past four games, but let's focus on last night. Is that just a case of Denver being a horrible matchup for him, or, you know, is there something where he had an extra gear last night that he just chose not to hit?
There's no doubt that Denver is a tough matchup for him. Like they just are. They pack the paint. They have Aaron Gordon on him, who's just really physical with him. Because you look at, like, a lot of the time, there was a play in last night's game where Jimmy got the Jamal Murray switch. I think it was in the first half. He gets to the rim and, like, bullies him, like, throws a shoulder right into his chest and gets a layup. Like, and he's like, it was almost like a breath of fresh air. Like, oh my God, wait, I could bully somebody now. Like, I could find somebody on the court that I can even somewhat bully. And it's even tough with Jamal Murray because he's a bigger guard and a tough guy to post up. So they just don't have a lot of guys to attack for Jimmy. And it seems like it gets in his way of getting into that mode where he's getting a bunch of foul calls or he's getting to the rim consistently. I asked Spo about it last night where he kind of pointed to the fact that, you know, it's an officiating shift. Where he's like, maybe Jimmy has to start entering shot-making mode instead. Like, he needs to start trying to find those different spots where he almost needs to hit pull-up jumpers against Denver. Like, that's pretty much like the key to that matchup. He has to be able to hit those kind of mid-range jumpers consistently. But the free throw thing is kind of the most odd thing, because it wasn't just last night. Like, as you point out, it's been over the last four. I was looking at some numbers today where he's shooting 10 free throws a game in wins, and he's shooting 6 free throws a game in losses. So then I look back to last year, and I'm like, is this like, what is the difference compared to past years? Last year, he was shooting 9 in wins and 8 in losses. So, like, pretty even. Like, he's pretty much doing it consistently, doing what he does no matter what. This year, it's like, there's just some nights he just doesn't get to the line, and it hurts their offense. And as much as Spo said it, like, he's right. Jimmy is not like a guy that just baits fouls and tries to do it. Like, he is physical enough that he draws fouls. He forces contact. But they need that. Like, they need him to be the aggressor. They cannot have him standing in the corner in a Patty Mills, Thomas Bryant lineup. Like, they have to have him being clicking in that mode. And Denver is just a tough matchup for him to kind of find that rhythm.
Yeah, Brady, you mentioned something I completely agree with a short while ago, that you don't really know what this Heat team's identity. They don't really have an identity. So, you know so much about the construction of this roster. What do you think that identity should look like if they were clicking on all cylinders?
It's always got to be defense. It just has to, because their offense is never consistent enough for me to say that. Like, you don't know what Jimmy you're getting. You don't know what the shooting's going to be. Like, it could be bottom of the league like it was last year, and then all of a sudden they shoot the lights out in the playoffs. So, like, random stuff can happen on that end of the floor. And then, obviously, you never know who's going to be playing. Like, we have this idea of, like, Tyler and Bam and Jimmy kind of leading the way, but then Tyler's not playing, and obviously the offense is all over the place where they could plug things in defensively to figure it out. And I know it's talking about, especially after this Denver game, we're going to be talking about the lack of size and everything. But, like, they defended enough last night. They scored 88 points. If they shot at a decent level, if Jimmy played at a decent level, they're right in that thing and they probably win it. Like, the defense, the stuff that Bam was able to do last night was big. I thought their off-ball defense was really good in that game against a team that usually exposes you with the stuff that they run and the movement and the way that Jokic can hit passes over the top. So, ideally, it's always going to be defense, but like I said, like, as much as I was on that wave in February, I've been a bit surprised how they've defended in March. I thought this is the time of the year when they're going to see a little bit of an uptick, and maybe it's because they're still trying to figure out rotations. Like, Haywood, a guy that's probably their second best defender on this team, is on the outside of the rotation looking in, where he's basically, he keeps talking about, like, I don't even know when I'm going to play, but he's staying ready because he randomly gets thrown in at the end of the second quarter. But, like, it's just a tough dynamic. It almost feels like they're going to hit a certain point where it's going to come down to like 5 games left in the regular season heading into the playoffs, and you're going to see a shift. And I don't know if it's going to be Jovic or not, but they're going to hit a defensive shift where they're going to say, okay, we're just going to bet on this defense and see maybe, Jimmy around this time of year could save the offense.
Right, but the problem with saying we're going to shift to defense is they're getting Hero back at some point, right? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a transition period here because, as we know, on the offensive end, Tyler is going to be a high-usage player, maybe not as high-usage as he was. And we're at the point now where, it's going to be under 15 games before he starts to play again, right? And I don't get the sense maybe longer than that. So I was reading in the comments here on the YouTube channel, like, about Spo experimenting and all the rest of this and hiding things and all that. And I kind of want to believe that too, like Spo is just throwing like Mills, Bryant lineups in the fourth quarter against defending champions at the wall to see if that sticks. And, not surprisingly, it did not stick. I mean, it's just sort of dripping down the side of the wall. But with that said, like, I don't know how we can convince ourselves of that at this point. Like, all of a sudden there's going to be this 9-man rotation, like, once Tyler and Kevin Love are back, that just emerges, and all of a sudden everybody's going to understand their roles and all that. I don't see that happening prior to the playoffs at this point. Am I too pessimistic about that?
I'll say, I think not to, like, go to Kevin before Tyler, but, like, the Kevin thing legitimately shifts their lineups. Like, it really does. Like, they need, and this is why we did the podcast before, where I legitimately think Kevin Love is their most important role player. Like, not that it's the, like I said, Thomas Bryant played decent enough last night. He played way better than he has in the past. But Kevin Love does things for their lineups and spaces them correctly for Jimmy to be able to get to the rim, to be able to draw fouls, to be able to do all of that stuff, where it's like, I really do feel like he fixes a lot of the non-Bam minutes and even the Bam minutes. Like, a game like Denver, you could see matchups where they play Kevin Love next to Bam a lot more. Teams like Boston, they're going to play Kevin Love next to Bam a lot more. So I think he's going to kind of be like the guy that they're – if they're saving somebody, they're saving Kevin. I don't think they're saving Tyler. Like, I think they're more so saying, we need Tyler back. We need him in this final stretch. We need to figure out what lineups he's best in. We need to figure out how we're going to split up this usage. As for Kevin, it's like, get him to the playoffs healthy, please, because we need that guy when it matters most. But the Tyler thing is like, we keep saying about it because we talked about it after the Denver series last year. Like, Tyler definitely would help against this team. They can't score against them. Like, they force you to take deep mid-range shots because they limit your three-point attempts, as we saw last night. They pack the paint in a way for Jimmy that he's not able to do that. So they force a lot of these mid-range jumper that's like, Terry should be taking more of the mid-range jumpers, even though he was passing up on a few of them last night. Tyler would take them. Like, Tyler would be love those type of shots that they're giving him. So he's just a perfect matchup for that team. So they need to figure it out. Like, they need to find it. As I said the word consistency before, they need to figure out. Like, they cannot just walk into the first round or not even the first round. They can't walk into the play and say, like, just throw their players out onto the court and say, like, figure it out again. Like, they legitimately need some type of formula that they think is going to work.
It's a good point from Conk 77 on here. In the Bron era, they consistently talked about building championship habits. Where is that mentally gone? In the Jimmy era, this team is consistently inconsistent. Well, there are different rules for Jimmy than for LeBron, which is as much that was emphasized. We're in the locker room yesterday, and we're like, is Jimmy talking tonight? And they're like, well, he's non-committal. He's non-committal about talking to the media after a loss. That's a little bit different. Brady, I'll go to this before we close here, and thanks for joining. And, of course, you can hear Brady regularly on 5 on the floor. I'm looking at the rest of the Heat schedule, and this is a plus and a minus in some ways. There aren't a lot of opportunities for signature wins left. Like, we've talked about, they had a signature win in Milwaukee, right? That's their one. Like, and they have one against Cleveland. They're 2-3 against those two teams. They're 0-11 against the other better teams in the league. I mean, they got a game in Philly without Embiid. They're in Cleveland. They're not totally healthy right now. The home games, I mean, they play the Pelicans again at home, Mavericks again at home. There's a lot of Raptors, Rockets. I mean, they get the Knicks again at home. The Wizards, we see who they just lost to, of course. I guess that'll be a signature win now, like, if they beat Kuzma this time.
Yeah.
And then they got two in Detroit. Do they need to prove something before the playoffs, or is this just get into the playoffs and whoever the matchup is and just go from there?
I don't think it matters anymore. Like, at this point, they just need to get to the sixth seed. They cannot be a play-in team. They have to. We even talked about it before when they were playing well. It was like, sixth seed is probably a better spot for them specifically than the 4-5 seeds, like, just because of the matchups. And if you were to make a run, you're keeping Boston as you know, kind of keeping them down the line for the Eastern Conference Finals and everything like that. So it's like, at this point, they just need to win the games that they're supposed to. And in this season, which is not something we're accustomed to, have won most of the games they're supposed to. Like, that Washington game, as much as we're talking about how horrible that loss was, they haven't done a lot of that. They've pretty much taken care of a lot of the bad teams. So now you have Detroit up twice. You could try to find a rhythm a little bit, but it's like, they need lineup consistency, rotation consistency more than anything to me. Like, there's this idea that, like, Jimmy, you know, we're looking at what you're talking about in the locker room last night. Like, they don't know what Jimmy they're getting. They just don't. Like, they're looking around some games and it's like, okay, well, Denver is a game where this is the one team he feels like he probably has to prove something against. And it's like, okay, so he should be able to come out. He's going to come out with that fire. And then randomly, it'll be like a game against Detroit, and he'll be fiery and trolling and do all this stuff, and they'll lead behind him. It's just a tough thing. So now it's just literally about finding a way to get out of the play-in. It's just fighting to get to that spot and trying to find a way to get out of it. So the thing is now, the next question is, and I know you were talking about this earlier, is like, can they kind of find life in a bottle like they did last year in a playoff setting? Like, can you get to that spot and make a run? Is there a confidence in that? I think there's a 50-50 split, Ethan, if you pulled that right now. Like, probably they'll probably lean no right now after a loss. If you asked after a win, it would probably lean yes because just the recency bias. But it's probably an even 50-50 split because there's partial people that think, okay, Jimmy has this ability, no matter what you saw from him the game before, can just randomly just start caring about basketball and playing like you've never seen before. But then there's also this thing where if he doesn't, I don't trust this team at all. Like, not only from a basketball standpoint, from like a mental standpoint, I don't see them being able to bounce back from that. So there's a lot going on here, but it's definitely just about the consistency of lineups. Because Ethan, the last thing I'll say, you're talking about the signature wins that they've had and everything. Even like the two or three that they've had, they were missing a key player. And that's a problem because like they play better when they're missing people. Like that Bucks game, I think it was it Jimmy that was out? I remember it was like a big Jovic and Duncan game in that Milwaukee game. And they just kind of went off in that game. So it's like they need to figure out a way to play together with their best players.
Yeah, well, if Jimmy's non-committal about the playoffs like he was about the media yesterday, they got a real problem. Thanks to Brady. Thanks to Alex. We got a drop. Check out the next episode of the Five Guys next Tuesday, midday. And listen to us, the rest of us, on Five on the Floor. Have a good one, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.